Well, good evening and welcome to this evening's City Council meeting for October 16th, 2012. I would like to call the meeting to order and ask that we need to take roll call, please.
Councilperson Herring.
Here.
Cuddaback.
Here.
Williams. Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Here.
And just a reminder, Councilmember Williams did state that he would be out of the state this week, so we'll not be here this evening. Please join me for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Scheduled for this evening. The first of which is a short by extension. BCA 2012-08 and Mr. Cavalca.
Thank you, Mayor. The first public hearing tonight is for a request to consider extending the life of a short plat subdivision. Back in 2011, Council enacted ordinance that excluded final plats, which are more of the traditional subdivision like Sinclair Heights or Foothills, something like that, to 7 years in total from the time it's approved. At the same time, Council approved short plats for up to 5 years. And we've had some interest from folks about these short plats that are expiring. And the request is to extend short plats, given the life of 7 years total from date of approval, to match the same life cycle as regular plats. That's the basis of this. And I should note that these extensions do sunset at the end of 2014. Can I answer any questions?
All right, Council, any questions for Mr. Cavalca? Okay, and at this time we'll move into the public line.
Paul, do you see any reason not to do this? I mean, it made sense for us to do it previously and do the economic hardships. Do you see any reason not to do it?
Actually, I don't. Things seem to be turning, but there's been some definite interest in these short plats and in these infill projects that I think will bring these along that much sooner and quicker. And these are four lot infill projects that I think would really be an improvement to the housing stock in the city. So yeah, I totally support this idea. Plus, it grants the same privilege to a short flat as it does a larger building. So it really catches some of the smaller folks in the development and building businesses.
Okay, thank you.
That's a good idea.
No other questions? Okay, then we'll go ahead and open the podium for public testimony, portion of the public hearing. I don't have anybody signed up to speak on this particular issue, so I will open up to the members of the audience. Unless there's somebody on the... Did anybody sign up by chance?
He's no? Retrieving the sign-up sheets.
So I'll open up to the members of the audience if you'd like to address this issue. You may do so by approaching the podium, providing your name and address for the record, and limiting your time to 5 minutes. Council, I don't see anybody wanting to address this particular public hearing. And so with that, we have a motion to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Sure.
Second. Motion has been made by Councilmember Cuddaback and seconded by Councilmember Camp. The lights. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Council, any other question for Mr. Pavelka or comments? Okay, that's a quick public hearing. Mr. Pavelka, anything further on that? I'd say in closing?
Just one quick note that we do plan to bring this back to council next week, October 23rd, for a first reading and a second final reading on November 6th. We'll be seeing it again the next couple of weeks.
Okay, we have a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved. Second.
A motion has been made by Councilmember Gearing and seconded by Councilmember Hanford and Councilmember Kovac.
Thank you. I just saw on the cover sheet that it says November 6th and 13th for the first and second. Is it the 23rd or is it the 6th?
We did with the 23rd for the first reading.
And then the second one would be the 6th?
I think when that was written, and I didn't catch it, we were having a meeting on the 23rd, but we did move things up.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. That's good. I think that's two items we have now for that meeting. Motion on the floor. Any other lines or comments? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Second of our public hearings this evening is with regards to Roosevelt Road rezoning. It's RZ 2011-01. And Mr. Buffett, you're up again. Need a clicker? Is that it there?
That's right.
Come here.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. This public hearing, as you said, is for Roosevelt Road. These are, I missed a couple of slides to illustrate this project. This is about 71 acres. You can see it's located.
Never mind. I don't have the lens of the pointer. This would be Highway 2. Here, Roosevelt Road goes up the west part of this property. This would be foothills somewhere through here.
The a little bit of history. Council back in 2008, the city annexed this property from the county. In 2010, there was a comp plan amendment to change it from its original zoning, or I'm sorry, land use of 2 to 5 units, greater to 5 to 7. And this exercise here, this rezoning request, is to basically bring it into consistency with that comprehensive plan, going to 5 to 7 units per acre. I did do some looking at the property and some calculating to see how many units could potentially be built in this 70 acres, and I came up with about 250 to 300 units in total, and that's based on a pyramid of assumptions. It could be as little as 200 or as many as 300 units within that zoning category. Closer up view. That's really all the comments I have at this point. I'd be happy to take some questions.
Councilman, anything for Paul? Maybe something will come up? Yes. Okay, at this time we will open now the podium for public testimony. As I did earlier, I don't have anybody signed up at this time. If anybody is interested in speaking with regards to this matter, you may do so by approaching the podium. Sir? And if you would, your name and address for the record, and please limit your time to 5 minutes.
My name is Bill Davidson. I live at 611 West Main Street. My question is, if this annexation would be served by sewer and water, by existing facilities, gravity flow, if we need new pumping stations in order to make this annexation work with the city, what's the expense of those items, if that is necessary, And is that something that is going to be covered in the cost of the annexation, or will it be covered by the existing taxpayers of the city?
Pardon me, Brad?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask that you respond to that. It's a very good question for council to know as well.
The property only is within the city of Monroe. The rezone just changes what is the number of houses or dwelling units are allowed to go on that property. Currently, it is not served by city sewer. It is served by on-site sewage disposal system to also call septic tanks. Probably about two-thirds of the property will gravity drain south to the existing sewer system. The northern pointy part of the area would have to have pump stations involved in order to have sewer service. That would be at the expense of any developer, and then the ongoing maintenance of that would just get rolled into the cost of our sewer system, just like the other pump stations that are around town. Did that answer everything?
Okay. Councilor McGinn.
Was this clarification? It's already annexed.
Yes.
Hi, good evening. My name is Meredith McLean, 13624 Chain Mike Road, Monroe. I just have a question. Brad, you can probably answer it. When was the application deemed complete for this subdivision?
There is no subdivision at the moment. We're not discussing the subdivision now. We're discussing a rezone of the property.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience like to discuss this matter? All right, seeing no hands or replies at this time, do I have a motion to close public testimony portion of the public hearing?
So moved.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Hanford and seconded by Councilmember Cutabat. Councilmember Gearing.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, Councilmember.
There's a problem. The 9600 DR 6000, it was originally 5 to 7, and after 5 to 7, that translated over to UR 6000, if I'm not mistaken, which is was the higher density. One of the reasons we brought it into the city. First, one of the attractive options is because of our density deficit, we were then able to potentially build more homes there. And that's what this would allow for. I believe that's still the case. 6,000 certainly would potentially allow for more homes, not necessarily every buildable square inch, but it would certainly help with that density. At least that's what we had spoken about previously. So if those things haven't changed, I'd certainly like to see this brought back. As per the recommended action to, I believe, the first reading for the next week or the sixth, whatever it was.
It definitely would make a difference. The old designation, as you say, was 2 to 5 units per acre with a equivalent zoning of 9,600. And this change in comp plan does translate to a zoning of 6,000, which will give one or two more units yield per acre. So it could be as maybe 100 units or more additional, perhaps higher than that with this change of zoning. And it does help us work toward that target of 1,000 units and approximately 2,500 people in the next 10, 12 years that we're trying to meet. So it does help, yes.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Motion on the floor is to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The next motion would be to direct staff to prepare an ordinance for first reading on October 23rd, 2012.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion has been made by Councilor McGarry and seconded by Councilor Cutback. Any other comments or questions? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The next portion of our meeting is to hear comments from our citizens. This time is set aside for citizens to speak to the city council on any issue except any judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Welcome you this evening. We ask two things: that you would provide your name and address for the record, and please limit your time to 5 minutes. I do have a few here signed up this evening, and the first of which is Vicki Mullen.
Thank you. Vicki Mullen, 10312 210th Street Southeast, Snohomish, Washington, 98296. I'm here just kind of in a generic way to say that I'm very concerned with how fast so many projects are going, and that I'm not sure I realize that you post them and everything, but as far as the public being involved, and I know there are different times when I've been here, people have talked about, you know, ways to, you know, I've heard the council at different times talk about, you know, what newspapers might be best, which ways are best to, you know, interact with the people of the community. And I know it's difficult, but it seems like so many things. I went to the Planning Commission meeting last night, and I was very surprised. I was there about school litigation. I'm against any change to those fees, as I've spoke to you before about. But there was also the North Kelsey was the hearing was on it, and there was no one there, you know, that spoke to that issue except myself. And afterwards, two or three of the commissioners came up and thanked me for my testimony because it put some things in kind of a historical perspective for them that they hadn't been aware of a couple of things. And so I was really glad that I went. But in hoping that people would come forward and help with this political process, not the political process, but the governing process, you know, having two sides of things and having maybe some debate. I know a lot of people feel that, you know, council or the different planning commissions or things may already have their minds made up on something, and so they feel there's no sense in coming forward and bringing their opinion forward. And I think that became more clear to me last night when staff outlined proposed agendas coming forward. And what they were, how they outlined it is, okay, commissioners, you have to, you know, you have to get this passed, you have to do this, you then you pass this, or you decide what you're doing with this, and that's got to be done because you have to pull the sign ordinance out and things, because everything has to be done because we're signing papers for real estate on the stuff in North Kelsey, so you need to get that done, and we're going to not have an ordinance on it until November 6th, but we're going to have a first reading before that. And I listened to all that, and it was like, it's already laid out exactly what the Planning Commission is supposed to be doing from staff, exactly what the how they're supposed to vote, how they're supposed to look at things, and then it comes to you as council members. It's already assumed and explained that you're going to vote this way because you've got to vote this way in order for this sign thing has to be off so you can sign some real estate papers on the 31st. So in hearing all that, and you can go to the tapes and listen to it, or maybe you were there last night and heard it, it's already in. The fix or the votes or whatever is already in. There's no public process in all of this. I know that it's happened before. I've been here since 1996 listening to the councils, and I know that other councils have been the same way. I mean, we had the good old boys. They were self-proclaimed that they went to Pitosis to have their votes already counted and in. There was a time, though, when at least it wasn't so apparent. You know, if you're going to do this kind of stuff and you're going to, you know, have your votes already done, have it already planned out, have your agendas planned out for nothing time frame in here so you can't even not do these things, just don't rub our faces in it, mine at least, or some of the other people's, because this idea of public, continuous and public participation in the Growth Management Act, it's not happening. I don't see this as being, and other things that I think, you know, it's going to happen, and you're going to have it, but you've already got stuff on your November 6th, that if it doesn't happen on November 6th, the way it's supposed to happen, things just seem to fall apart. It's so rushed. There's so many off, you know, things. And on another note, for attorney, well, your friend, Phil Obrecht, you and I had a discussion about that. It came up that you have socially meet with him or something. On the H3O, I think having Phil Obrecht anywhere involved in anything to do with Monroe is a mistake. And I base it on Phil Obrecht's own emails to this city, which are available, which were the ones that were not given. And the reason this city had a lawsuit against it, and those emails, I hope the person that has them, which would have been the court or Meredith Meckling, would come forward and share them. And you'll all see why I don't think that Phil Obrecht is the right person to be doing anything legally with this city. Thank you. If anyone has any questions or comments on any of that, I'd be glad to take them.
Thank you.
Aaron Snapper.
Well, that's really tough to follow. Thank you, Ricky. I'm here tonight primarily in support of Councilwoman Cutback.
Ms. Napkin, may I ask for your address as well as your name for the record?
421 South Lewis Street, in Monroe. Thank you. So, neighbor, I can live. As well. I've been following Councilwoman Cutback on Facebook for about a year. And, I mean, I haven't checked it daily, but I haven't really seen any information that's not publicly available. Mostly she's been soliciting input, something I think that is quite admirable and ought to be encouraged. And I would just ask that council be very cautious here to avoid the appearance that this might be politically motivated. I feel that, you know, maybe we have to assume that it's just a misunderstanding.
That's
really all that I have to say. Okay.
Meredith Mecklen.
Why don't you do my address again?
Please.
1364 Chain Lake Road, Monroe, Washington.
Thank you.
I'm here to discuss the alleged complaint against Betsy Cutback, which I haven't seen it, so I really don't know much about it, but all I know is what I read in the minutes and in various newspapers. But I have been following Betsy Cutback's Facebook page for months, I think since she set it up, and I'm kind of a, you know, person that has been very interested in open government, and I kind of keep track of what goes on with it, and I still speak frequently with people who are knowledgeable in that field, like Toby Nixon, who's the president of the Washington Coalition for Open Government, and Mike Fancher, who's the vice president, people who kind of live it and breathe it. And I just think that everything that I've seen on this Facebook page has been very straightforward, very legitimate, of public interest, trying to get the people engaged, and I appreciate that Patsy Cutback. Thank you very much for that. I would like to just comment on there was a newspaper article in the Edmund Herald dated February 28th of 2011. And it was, the title of the article was "Legality of Disclosing Executive Session Information, Not Always an Easy Call." And it was in relationship to a Everett school board member who was alleged to have divulged confidential information from an executive session. And there she was censured for that. It was a big deal, and I was present for that censure, and I watched every minute of it. It was something to behold. But there's a quote in this article from Toby Nixon, who's the president of the Washington Coalition for Open Government, and he said, quote, "There's nothing in the Open Public Meetings Act that says simply because something is discussed in executive session that it's deemed confidential. It would be unethical and a disservice to the public to keep confidential information that should have been discussed in open session in the first place." end quote. And Tim Ford was paraphrased as saying that he agreed that not everything discussed in executive session is confidential. There was also a letter that was pretty much on point, and it was a letter from Tim Ford, who's the Open Government Ombudsman for the Attorney General. And it was a letter to a city council member from Puyallup. He was addressing this council member on whether or not a council member is required to keep confidential all verbal information provided during executive session. He responded, "It is true that confidential information must be protected pursuant to RCW 4223-0704. However, not all information shared in executive session may be confidential. The mere fact that records and information are shared in executive session is not sufficient to create confidentiality. The executive session is not a valid exemption from disclosure of non-exempt materials. Moreover, while the executive session allows public meetings on specific topics, it does not limit your First Amendment right to speak about non-confidential information that concerns the public. Any rule that seeks to limit all information discussed in executive session may be overly broad and likely restricts your constitutional rights." I do have that letter, which I would be happy to share if anyone would like to see it. But I think that when it comes to open government, it's always best to err on the side of being more open than more closed. And I would hope that whatever this complaint is, that it is tossed, because I, as a citizen who really values open government, and not just at the city council level, but state and national, I think it's really important that we not restrict council members from trying to share information. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have anybody else signed up to speak to council during this point in the agenda. However, as always, if there's a member of the audience who'd like to address council at this time, you may do so by approaching the podium and providing your name and address for the record.
My name is Jennifer Mandy Moore, 13340 Prospector Ridge Road, Southeast Monroe. I'm just here to speak about two things, and that's that I really appreciate Patsy's Facebook page. I appreciate how careful she always seems to be. Of course, I haven't seen every single post in every single place, but she's always seemed to use it in a way that just gets information from the community into her hands as another way to bridge the gap in the communication between the community and the people she represents. And I appreciate that a lot from her. I've never really kept up with the city stuff. I'm more involved with the schools. And because of her page, it's given me that opportunity to kind of keep up on things and get more interested. And the other issue I'm here about is the school mitigation fees, which I feel very strongly against giving more of a discount to developers. I cannot see taking any more money away from a school district that's already struggling to keep buildings over these kids' heads. We have a nice high school, but we're really lacking in a lot of things, and I can't imagine giving a deeper discount to builders. Monroe's a valuable place for builders to come out and build. I think that they will find a way to build here. We're an attractive place to come and build their homes. And I don't think that a 25% further reduction is going to somehow encourage them to come or not. They're going to come anyway. So I don't think it's going to take away from our kids.
Good evening, everyone. Jeff Rasmussen, 16655 150 Street, Southeast. Last week, I heard about last week's agenda and the complaint against Ms. Kodabak, and I was very surprised. Like many people have already said, I do follow Ms. Kodabak's Facebook page, and I also greatly appreciate the open forum that she fosters. It's wonderful, and it's something that is open to all, and no matter your opinion, how you choose on whatever subject or whatever subject you want to talk about, it is open, and you're free to discuss how you want to discuss, and it's better than almost, you know, shouting it out, I guess. So to hear that there was a complaint, or there's allegedly a complaint, confidential information, I was very surprised, because me personally, I've never seen any such thing. Again, I greatly appreciate the open forum. I applaud Patsy for having that. And I wish every single one of you would offer that. I think the walls that are up between council and citizens, or the perceived walls at the very least, could be broken down with an open forum. And I'm talking a bigger open forum than coming here to council every Tuesday, meeting one-on-one with each person. I mean, many of you folks and I met one-on-one to discuss the Wakeboarding Project. I appreciated it. Yeah, some of the perceptions that were out there, it changed my mind a little bit. Some of them not so much. But to be honest, I had a little more respect because those of you that spoke with me brought open forum. I'm one person. This is a bigger community than just one person. How can you create an open forum to foster open government, that open conversation with your citizens? I think Patsy's doing a great job with it. The other concern, and I guess big disappointment I have in all this, is my understanding of how it came out at last week's meeting was through the draft agenda. Conversation ensued that this complaint against an elected official was in regards to Patsy, and my understanding of it is at that time Councilmember Gehring and Hanford were the ones initiating the complaint. I'm speechless that it's out in the open at that point, and there's the Ms. Kodabak that is being accused of this wants discussion on it, but as the two that are complaining on it aren't willing to give discussion on it. You're not ready to discuss it, is my understanding. Put yourself in the accused position and basically being told, we're accusing you of doing something wrong, but we're not going to discuss it right now. You'll have to wait till next week. Put yourself in those shoes. It's going to make a long week. I applaud Ms. Kodabak for handling the situation as well as she did. Utmost professionalism I could ever imagine. If it's true that you two are the ones that filed the complaint, which I believe it is, based off of every different source I've read, and it's true that it wasn't ready to be discussed at that point, shame on you guys for not being willing to discuss it. It's up, out in the open at that point, and to leave someone hanging like that, and just shows lack of character and integrity, in my opinion. I think you guys need to reevaluate your positions here and consider what you're doing, how you're interacting with your citizens, and more importantly, or just as important for that matter, how you guys are interacting with each other. It's great to not agree on everything, but to act childish instead of professional is something totally different, and something that I, as a citizen that votes, I don't want to put up with for my elected officials. It's embarrassing. My time is up. I appreciate the time, And I hope this becomes a learning experience, and I do hope that everyone does foster an open government of some sort than what's in place now. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, I can't resist. Diane Elliott, 15550, 174th Avenue Southeast in Monroe. And I, too, appreciate Patsy's professionalism and a forum for people in Monroe to be able to discuss issues. So many times when people discuss council members, it's they're thought to be arrogant and unreachable. When I've sent emails to people, that comes back, and I want to re-receive, it'll come back unread. And, you know, that's another thing. At least, if you're not going to read it, maybe you'll quit saying thank you for your, you know, your email, whether or not you choose to read it or not. At least it gives me something thinking maybe you are. But I think it would be a good thing if all of you did have Facebook pages that way. Like other people have said, it'd be an open forum for discussion. At least you'd be reachable. And you wouldn't be sitting up here appearing arrogant and untouchable. And I very much appreciate Patsy for being able to speak for the rest of the community and go out there and ask questions and keep us informed instead of in your little closed group. And that's what it really appears to the majority of people. But anyway, thank you, Patsy, and we really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
David St. Clair, address is 12418 58th Avenue Southeast, Snohomish, Washington. So I want you guys to note the last part of that, Snohomish, Washington. A year ago, I lived here in Monroe, right down the street from Cancel and Gamble. I moved because of the decisions being made in this chamber, because the North Kelsey plan is being torn apart, because of the things that are being done in East County, because of the things that are being done at the airport. This community is no longer what it was when I moved here 12 years ago. And because of that, I decided to take my family and move to Snohomish, where they're not growing to grow, they're growing smartly. They actually have real plans in place, and they're taking things slowly and doing things correctly, unlike what I see happening here. And it's really disappointing. We moved here 12 years ago to raise our family and to live here forever. And, well, forever turned out to be 12 years. When I heard about what was being done to Patsy last week, it just seemed like a big distraction, from the East, the rezone out east, the not charging for EIS statements, for all of these little things that are going on that have people up in arms and have them discussing the city and trying to figure out ways to either stop them or step in and figure out how to change them. Well, now all of a sudden something gets thrown out to really distract the citizens. And I think it's disrespectful, and I think it's not the way that we should be running a community. I still own the property here, so I kind of keep my ear to the ground to see what's happening in the community. And to know that we're trying to annex Roosevelt, we're trying to do all these things so that we can build more developments. Hell, there's a ton of houses up the hill that can't be sold because the property values aren't worth what they were when people bought the homes. How about we do something to fix that problem first before trying to build new developments to bring more people in? Between that and just wanting to come and support Patsy, and just that's all I really have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Bill Davison. My address is 611 West Main Street, Monroe. I've lived in Monroe for 55 years in the same house on Main Street. Paid my taxes all these years, been a good city cheerleader, done what I can to help the city. I'm appalled at what you're trying to do here tonight. You, Mayor Zimmerman,
you, Mr. Goring, should be ashamed. There is nothing wrong with having a Facebook page. There is nothing wrong with communicating with your constituents. Why are we even talking about this? I don't understand it. We are talking about a piece of property that is being tried to be rezoned to the benefit of one family. That family seems to control some of the city council in some way. And it upsets me that we keep going through exercises to try to keep that ball rolling. This attempt to silence Patsy's Facebook page is just another step in it. And I don't understand where you're going, what you're trying to do. But I want you to know that there are a lot of us in the city watching. We're looking. We're seeing what's going on, and we don't like it. Thank you.
My name is Sam Merchant, and I live at 15002 210th Avenue Southeast in Monroe, Washington. Actually, unincorporated township, but that's a wonderful convention. So, I've been out to chat with City Council for numerous reasons over the last 6 years that I've lived here in town. I have a little business that we've moved and expanded, and we like this town. I'm on the board of the PTA at the school that my daughter goes to. I'm now on the board of the food bank. I love to serve my community, both the elderly and the children, the ones that need us to look out and work with and to protect. I'm a big fan of living in a small town. A small town has been great to me. It's kind of cliche to say you live in a small town, you're from a small town, but this is really it. Like, I know some of you people outside of this room. We've met before. We've chatted. It's real. And I've come and I've been angry before when there was trying to be great specific legislation passed for dogs. I brought a bunch of people with signs and we chanted and we marched and we said, hell no, we won't go. And we didn't want to have those laws. There was a little bit of a listening and there was some give and take and some real dialogue happened. And then I was part of MPACT and we did not like what was going on with Morris Kelsey. And that's where the communication kind of stopped. And there was a lot of, I don't like what you're doing, and a lot of, well, we're just not going to listen to you. And it didn't get anywhere. One of the last things I said when I spoke directly to the council was, I'm here to make win-win. I want to work with you guys to make this city a better place. This is where I have my family. Unfortunately, I'm Mike David Sinclair. I'm upside down in my home. I'm not leaving anytime soon. So you guys get to be with me, and I get to be with you. It seems like there is a attempt. And I don't know. I don't want to think that it's real. I don't want to think that it's there's really an agenda that's behind this. I try to avoid conspiracy theories, although a lot of the discussions in top round town point that way. But I'd like to think that our dialogue, the intercourse that we have as we talk with one another and we work to make this community better, wouldn't have to be so polarizing. It seems like every agenda that comes up, everything that comes up polarizes us and splits us and makes us a real us versus them. And if you don't back my point, then I hate you and how dare you be my neighbor. And that's not building anything. There's a bunch of people in this room that are so upset and don't want to come together as a community and don't want to build consensus and don't want to make this better. They want to fight with you and they want to point names and call you names and call you names. And that doesn't get anywhere fast. You don't want to listen to that. You're a grown man. You don't want to listen to that. But we don't feel like we're being listened to either. And this polarization isn't building community. When I was downtown, no longer downtown, I only saw you once in 7 years. I was across the street for Abby's Toy Drive. And I went out there and I wanted to say something like, hey, come and stop and say hi. Because you and I have never physically had a conversation outside of this chamber. Because I've had differences of opinion for the direction that this town is going in. But I would hope that that wouldn't stop us from being able to have a conversation and to understand where we are as men. I would think that any one of you could come and have a conversation with me, and I would have a very rational, very defensible position, and I would hope that you would have the same for me. And I hope that you'd have the same for the people in this audience, because I really feel like we're being treated like children. And that is so enraging. It's so easy to turn that into a very impassioned conversation that involves emotion and not real discussion to solve problems. We don't need emotion. Emotion's not going to get us anywhere. Emotion's not going to fix our economy. Emotion's not going to fix our problem that we have with whatever concern that you have about the community, because everybody has a different concern. Everybody has a different feeling. Everybody has a different viewpoint. It's upsetting to me as a person that there would be a limited dialogue about what's going on in government. That as I've gotten older and as I'm part of a small town, we actually have the ability to affect the nuts and bolts of what's going on. We don't have to throw ourselves blindly at the machinery to stop what's going on. We can actually have a rational conversation. We can talk like human beings, like adults, and not be patronized and not be treated like we're children. So I'm very public. I can't get away. I'm not running away from anybody. You can find me 6-7 days a week at my store, and if I'm not there, I'm at the food bank or at my school volunteering, which my daughter goes to Frank Wagner. Love that school. Please don't be that unavailable. Don't lose your transparency. The passion is we want to be able to talk and work with you. We want to find resolution. We want to find solutions. This isn't working for you guys, and I know that this isn't working for us. So, there it is.
Sam, was that a plug for your store?
Not at all.
Joel Phillips, and I live at 505 Circle Drive, and I'm not here to talk about cameras tonight. We all know that you guys can use a rest from that, and I'm here to basically say that I don't always come to the city council meetings, but looking at Patsy's blogs, you know, Facebook page does help me out understand some of this stuff, because I'm kind of a layman's type of guy. Basically, you need stuff explained to me a little bit more, and I just feel like she does a great job explaining stuff to everyone else, and she's a huge help by having that blog going on. I'd just like to say thank you. So, and thank you for your time tonight.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you to those who spoke this evening. We appreciate your comments. We'll move now on to the consent agenda. And is there Councilmember Gamble?
I'd like to pull 2A on the consent agenda.
Pulling 2A. Councilmember Pettibeck.
I'd like to pull number 5.
All right. Anything else? Councilmember Gary.
Not to pull. I'll make a motion to approve consent agenda items 1, 2B, 3, and 4.
Second.
All right, motion made to approve consent agenda items 1, 2B, 3, and 4. Councilor Gamble.
Item 3, 2.
I'll amend my motion to the approved consent agenda item 1, 2B, and 4. Second, and also approves.
Yes.
Okay. The motion is to approve consent agenda items 1, 2B, and 4. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Councilmember Gamble.
Items 2B and 3 are an abundance of caution. I'd like to recuse myself associated with my company that I work for. Okay, appreciate that.
All right, let the record show that Councilmember Gamble has left the chambers. Abundance of caution. Do I have a motion to approve items 2A and 3?
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Councilmember Cutterback and seconded by Councilmember Hamburg. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Staff member. Brad, can you wave?
Cool.
Councilmember Cutterback.
I just have some questions, Ben. So I'm reading this. So what I gathered from it was that after the project was designed and planned, that's when significant modifications were asked to be made by WFDOT.
Correct.
And I see in here on the impact and budget, it says total anticipated federal contribution is approximately that. Does that mean that we might not get that? That's anticipated? Is what if we don't get that?
The questionable part is how much the Department of Transportation will keep.
Okay.
So that's, and it's not a lot. It's just, you know, somewhere between, you know, a few thousand dollars, depends on how much work they do on the project, is how much they keep.
Okay, so when you say anticipated federal contribution, $636,000, you're not saying it could be $200,000?
No.
Okay. And then, since this was planned and designed and then there were changes, is there a risk that now we're changing and designing it to fit that? Or they're going to... Does it look like there would be any other changes required or asked for?
No, there will be a request for additional compensation from the contractor who is building the project.
Okay.
And we're in the midst of negotiating that right now.
Okay, so that's another change that will come before
Correct.
Us, and you don't know what that is at
Not
this
yet,
point.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. We have a motion to approve consent agenda item number 5.
Second.
Made by Councilmember Cutterback, seconded by Councilmember Gearing. Any other questions? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? New business item number 1, we have an update on public records requests. City Administrator Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor. This evening, I just wanted to, like I do typically every year, report to the council where we're on public records requests. We track them and put them on a spreadsheet to track our hours. I believe the last 2 years I've come before council and expressed a concern of filling the city clerk position. In that position, we would take care of all the public records and the public or the records management portion for the city. So at any rate, before you this evening is that spreadsheet. Currently, it tracks Denise Jacobson's hours. She's in the Parks Department and is taken away from the Parks Department to handle our public records requests. And currently this year, she's put in 295.8 hours in public records requests. So at any rate, we're on target, maybe a little ahead of target from what we had last year. I did not provide that spreadsheet from last year for you, but I can do so if needed. In addition, we just kind of guessed how many hours other staff have put in, and Denise Brenner that runs our IT department, she's got about 60 hours in. I've got about 96, and then the attorney hours, we're right around 19 and a half or so. So at any rate, I did want to provide that for council this evening, and the concern I have, which I've always expressed, is that because we don't have a dedicated person to do this, it takes staff away from what they're actually hired to do. In the case of Denise Jacobson, she is our parks scheduler, and she's trying to keep the operations running out there as far as the event operations. And so anyway, it is a big task to perform this. It is a task that we're required to do, and we're happy to do it, but it does require a lot of staff time, and it costs money to provide this service. So anyway, I'm willing to ask or answer questions. We also have a form here that Diane helped prepare, and it basically lists the cost for a full-time person if we were to fill the city clerk position, and that's around $84,000 with benefits, that type of thing. And if that was to be funded by a tax increase, property tax increase, we'd have to be looking at a 4.3% increase. So, anyway, we do have that spreadsheet for you as well. And open for questions.
And let me first say that I wanted the city administrator Brazel to bring this to your attention tonight because it is having a significant impact on staff's productivity in their full-time roles, as well as it's having an impact on staff to gather this information. As City Administrator Brazel said, we're glad to do this. The current cost for this year, as you said, is about $30,000. That's only the cost that City Administration, City Hall here is doing, that's not accounting for the help that we've been receiving from the police department. The trend is not improving. In other words, the public records requests are not going down. They're actually getting larger. The current public records request that we have is going to mean the review of some 30,000 emails.
50,000
emails. We received another public records request that could be five times the amount in terms of records that need to be reviewed. And it's very important that we don't miss anything. So what we, staff and I will be doing this week is looking at the possibility of adjusting our budget requests for 2013. The reality is that we first looked at the possibility of somebody on a temporary basis and using a contingency fund to fund that, and we might bring that to you. The reality is that the trend is going up. We've seen the impacts that it's had on cities such as Bolivar. Other cities are being impacted as well. I just think it's important to get the information before council tonight that you understand that we have really, at this point, only identified two ways. One is the contingency that's only for a temporary fix. The other is the property tax increase, and as Administrator Brazel said, just to cover this position would mean a property tax increase of 4.3%. So just an FYI tonight. And am I right on that, Diane? 4.3%. So just an FYI tonight, bring to your attention. We will have more discussion about this with regards to during the budget process. Councilor.
Thank you. Dan, I just wanted to make sure I understood this. The 1% is what we can do for the property tax increase, and then the 3.3 is bank capacity usage. Mm-hmm. Does that still have to go out to the voters?
No.
Okay. Just want to make sure. So. Thank you.
But it's a serious issue, and it's something that
sure.
I think was really motivated by the last two public records requests that we got. The others, as you see in the spreadsheet, were fairly specific, but the last two have become much broader in sense, which means that the requests and time needed to fill those requests are becoming much, much more. So, now, any other questions for Diane or City Administrator Brazel? No? Oh, Councilmember Katz.
This next issue is important. I'm in the room. I do have to go to the restroom.
Sure.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, we are moving on to the next agenda. This is to receive and evaluate a complaint or charge brought against a public officer or employee. I would like to make the following statement, if I may, after conferring and speaking to city attorney. This agenda item is for the purpose of receiving and evaluating a complaint or charge against a public official. At the request of the official in question, this decision is taking place in open session. The topic of the alleged complaint or charge concerns the unauthorized disclosure of confidential information. I'd like to remind the City Council that this decision, this discussion, should not lead to the further unauthorized disclosure of confidential information beyond what has already been alleged to have occurred. While the Council as a whole always has the ability to allow the disclosure of such confidence by majority vote, it's my strong preference and position that the Council should refrain from doing so. I would also like to remind the Council that this discussion should be civil, restrained in accordance with the expected principles of decorum. As a presiding officer, I will not tolerate personal attacks, insults, or disruptive behavior. All right, moving on to the item. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. I would like to make a statement. Tonight I am raising a formal complaint for council consideration regarding action by Councilmember Cutterback from what I believe was the inappropriate disclosure of executive session information. Despite public claims to the contrary, Councilmember Cutterback has been aware of the nature of the complaint being brought this evening. I appreciate the opportunity to address this issue in open session, as the citizens of Monroe have a right to know if their elected officials violate the ethical standards established by the state of Washington and their community. An elected official has a responsibility to communicate to the citizens of his or her city regarding non-confidential public matters. The complaint this evening is not brought forward to address the different methods through which a public official may choose to communicate. This matter is in regard to the alleged unauthorized disclosure of city confidential city information available only to city officials, not the medium used to disclose the information. The unauthorized disclosure of confidential city information by a council member is a violation of both the spirit and the letter of the ethics codes for both Monroe and Washington State. RCW 42230704 states, no municipal officer may disclose confidential information gained by reason of the officer's position. MMC 252060 states, confidential information is all information, whether transmitted or in writing, that is not intended for public disclosure or is otherwise of such a nature that it is not, at that time, a matter of public record or public knowledge. Confidential information includes, but is not limited to, non-final assessments, opinions, recommendations concerning city policies and actions. I think that Councilmember Cutterback's actions are in violation of these statutes. The issue this evening is that Councilmember Cutterback, through private messaging, not visible or transparent to the general public, did disclose confidential information only available to municipal officers when City Council did not waive confidentiality regarding the topic disclosed. In this instance, Councilmember Cutterback acted on her own behalf without the approval of Council, which requires official authorization by councilmatic action. Her action resulted in confidential information showing up through the community, on social media, and in angry emails to city staff and City Council. This action not only violated city and state ethics laws, but also by the nature of the private, non-transparent communication method used could have placed the City of Monroe in financial liability if the city were not able to produce a copy of the message as a result of a public records request. In 2009, the Court of Appeals ruled in Mackling versus the City of Monroe that those messages are subject to public disclosure when using private systems for city business. It should be noted that the subject matter disclosed in Councilmember Cutterback's unauthorized action is irrelevant to tonight's complaint, as is the level of detail that was inappropriately disclosed. Monroe's ethics ordinance and Washington state law do not allow for exceptions to the rules based on those factors or the intent of the council member. One does not have to intend to exceed the speed limit to have violated the law and receive a citation and monetary. Ultimately, the citizens of Monroe, as well as the council and affected city staff, deserve better. The rules apply to everyone, regardless of how long they have served or their gender. It is imperative that consequences be applied equally and without regard to the person involved. To that end, because of the seriousness of the action, taken by Councilmember Gunnebeck, I recommend the following course of action by making the following motion. I move that City Council compel a full and public apology from Councilmember Gunnebeck to Council, City staff, and the citizens of Monroe for inappropriately disclosing confidential information and garner an assurance that the action in question will not be repeated again. And that City Council formally censure Councilmember Gunnebeck and have a letter of censure drafted to be included in the public record. And that Councilmember Gunnebeck be assessed a civil penalty as allowed by RCW 423050 and MMC 252 in the amount of $500 payable to the City of Monroe within 30 days. I believe that only after this course of action is taken can the damage trust level between Councilmember Gunnebeck and City staff, Council members, and most importantly, the citizens of Monroe begin to be repaired. The citizens of Monroe expect the council members put the city's interests ahead of their own. I call on Councilmember Cutback to do the same tonight. Thank you. Now I'll be looking for a second to my motion.
Second. A motion has been made by Councilmember Gearing and seconded by Councilmember Hanford. I'm sorry, I wasn't expecting. Can you reread your motion or restate your motion, please?
Three different parts. You want the entire thing or just the three
entire,
parts?
The entire motion.
Three parts. That City Council compel a full and public apology from Councilmember Cutback to Council, City staff, and the citizens of Monroe for inappropriately disclosing confidential information and garnering assurance the action in question will not be repeated again. City Council formally censure Councilmember Cutback and have a letter of censure drafted to be included in the official public record. And that Councilmember Cutback be assessed a civil penalty as allowed by RCW 423050 and MMC 2.52 in the amount of $500 payable in the city within 30 days. Thank those you. Are the three.
Thank you. Edie, did you? You're good.
Pardon me?
You're good. With
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's also recorded.
Yeah. Councilmember Cutback.
Thank you. I appreciate hearing the complaint from Councilmember Cutback for the first time hearing. Sorry. You know, I take this complaint very seriously. This is the first time that I've publicly heard what the complaint is about. I'm still trying to figure out which particular instance he's talking about. Can that not be addressed here?
I'm going to defer to the city attorney for that.
Because he's referencing a particular circumstance. Is that going to be part of the record?
Council, I believe that it would be inappropriate for individual council members to further disclose confidential information without a vote of the full council that would allow that type of a waiver to occur. I think that it can be discussed in more generic terms, or since the alleged violation has already been made public, I'm understanding that Mr. Gearing could specify what that was specifically and that you could respond.
Well, and why I ask that is this is the first time I've had a specific understanding of what the complaint was. I asked last week exactly what the specific complaint was. I was not given an answer. So tonight I was not prepared to defend myself or be put on the defense. Tonight what I was asking for is that I get the specific complaint in writing so I understand exactly what it is. I want to give it credence and do it justice by answering it. And that council gives me a week in order to respond. I do think it is appropriate that I'm given an opportunity to respond.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I have to kind of echo the comments. We knew that it was on the agenda. We had the body of emails, but there was no specificity in the context of the emails of exactly what the instance is. I've read through all of the documents. I'm trying to, I think I know what the issue is, and I have questions in regards to that, in particular, and where the violation potentially was. I can appreciate Councilwoman Gutbuck's request because you would have to guess on which, I mean, where the issue was. The comment, Councilman Gearing, that you made about subject matter is not the reason for the complaint. That seems to be the reason for the complaint, or the issue that you're taking is a subject matter that was discussed on a particular issue that you feel that is in violation of an executive session. So without the, you know, for me, what is it? You know, which component? I think I know what it is, but without that specificity, I don't know. I can't ask questions. I can't ask you questions.
Well, it's certainly the council's prerogative to continue the proceeding to a future date, if that's your preference. There really isn't a specific procedure that applies in this context. As I believe the council is aware, your ethics code contains a formal procedure for the processing and adjudication of formal ethics complaints. But if what is being requested or alleged here is something outside the scope of that, and Councilmember Gehring has chosen not to pursue this through the formal strictures of the ethics code, there really isn't a governing process in your rules of procedure for this. So it's, again, it's your prerogative if you'd like to continue the proceeding for the week that's been requested by Councilmember Cuddy.
So if I still have to go for it, then I know we have a motion and we have a second on the table. I would be voting against that motion, because I do concur with Councilwoman Cuddyback that she should have the opportunity before we take a vote on the subject to be able to defend herself on the exact issue that that is being accused of her. That's my personal opinion. I just think it would be only fair.
Councilmember Cuddyback.
Thank you. And if I may, last week when I asked a specific claim, I was told something on Facebook communication, but tonight I'm hearing something different, that it was not the mode. So I want to be very clear on what the complaint is, very specific, so I can address it. And I would like the opportunity to address it to council.
Councilmember Hamper.
I'd like to remove my motion for a second, based on the fact that my understanding was that it was pretty clear what the problem was, and that all of us understood that, and obviously that's not the case. And so if that's really not the case, then I agree that we need to make sure that you completely understand what that is, and I don't know if we have to go into executive session to clarify that so that next week we can get this to a close, because unfortunately this is dragged out now for a while. So.
It is permissible for the council to convene an executive session on this basis, but again, it is Councilmember Cuddyback's prerogative to demand that the proceeding occur in open session. So it's ultimately her judgment call, her discretion as to whether or not the council does convene an executive session on this point.
Could it be, if I might ask, that city council have the executive session to discuss the details and the subject matter specifically, and then the open session would be in regards to just the position or the concern that's been raised, and then I don't want to call it defense, but I guess for lack of better words, defense of the actions.
The council does have that ability, however, it still is Council Member Cuddyback's prerogative as to whether or not the entire discussion occur in open session. So if Council Member Cuddyback is amenable to bifurcating the procedure to the effect that's been described by the mayor, that's certainly permissible for the council to do that.
That is at the beginning of this item, we're talking about executive session information, and the reality is that we're all bound by the executive session information. So it makes it very difficult to talk about specific charges and subject matter when it's executive session information.
And if I could make one clarifying point, Mr. Mayor, any formal action that the council may take, any formal vote that the council may take regarding this or any other issue would have to occur in open session. Correct. Even if Council Member Cuddyback did agree for at least part of the proceedings to occur in executive session, the council could not vote on a censure or reprimand or penalty density or anything else that's been proposed by Councilmember Karen or anything else, actually, unless and until you reconvene in open session.
Councilmember Kedway.
And I would be open to that. My issue is, as far as holding some in executive session and some in open session, I'm going to be stymied in how I can then respond to the specific complaint. So that's going to tie my hands a little bit in how I can respond. So I guess my feeling would be to ask counsel if it is about a private message that was delivered. I think I know which one, but I want to be very specific that that message is allowed to be, it is public because it was delivered to a person not on this council.
And to the extent that it's already been disclosed and is a member of, or is a part of the public record at this point,
sure.
I don't think that there is a concern or issue with having that specific document or series of documents publicly identified. I believe that the mayor's concern, his preface and comments, was geared toward ensuring that no further confidential information would be additionally disclosed without formal council authorization.
I'm stymied here a little bit because there is no formal process.
No, that's fine.
I know that the seconder of the motion has rescinded his second, so without another second, the motion will die. Okay, Councilmember Regeering.
Thank you. And I have no problem talking about the documents in which this was revealed. Generally, the subject matter is not something for public disclosure. However, the way in which this information was revealed, I believe that's what you're saying. I don't think there would be a proper time.
My understanding is the document has already been made public and is a matter of the public record, not any confidential emails or discussions that would have occurred since then or prior to that point. But just
not since then, I'm sorry, to
just the actual specific document.
Communication itself contains the
does a public record,
the
yes.
appropriate information.
The message in question was received by Councilmember Gearing as a public records request in relation to his responsibility as a council member. Does that mean that that message is public record?
The message, I believe, that contains the alleged transgression would be a public record. Any other information that would have been received as part of that record request that Councilman Gearing would have only received by virtue of his official position as a city council member is not public to disclosure and should not be publicly discussed unless and until the council votes to waive confidences in that context.
So the message that was referred to in Councilman Gearing's statement is public record?
That's correct.
And that is the focus of the conservator complaint tonight?
And I'm having to stand describe that as I know it, not describing the subject matter involved. And I understand that was the, and that would be okay.
Certainly, and if the council feels more comfortable voting to allow that, I think it's within your prerogative to do so, but I don't think it's technically necessary since that document has already been publicly released.
Do you feel like you need more time?
Definitely. If you're listing your specific complaint dealing with that specific message and you can tell me exactly on record what that message is, then I know the specific complaint, and I think it's appropriate and reasonable to give me a week to respond to your complaint.
I don't have a problem with that. So.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sounds good. Do we need to vote on that first, or since it's already public record?
The council can have an abundance of caution to vote, but I don't believe that it's technically necessary since the document has already been shared with the public and it was subject to a previous public record request, if I understand.
Correct. That is correct.
Correctly.
Was that part of it? I think it was only part of the public records request made by Councilmember Geary.
Yes, and I believe that he obtained that as a private citizen, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, there was a second one in which
yes.
the But I received only yes. Okay. All right. And so this specifically relates to a conversation between Councilmember Petback and a member of the community. In this particular instance, it was Deborah Coburn. And this is specifically using Facebook's messaging functionality. And in this conversation, executive session information was disclosed. And I think in my public records request, it's clear that you had provided that information. So I do believe you are aware of, since you provided the information of that particular message. So that is the specific documents with which there's an issue.
And you're alleging that that is revealing confidential information.
It contained executive session information that was only available to city council. We then, as I had said earlier, received emails about the topic, which was only discussed in executive session, and trying to figure out how this person would know that. As I said previously.
Okay.
So that would be that's the specifics without the topic. Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble?
So, question for the city attorney. Is the legal requirements of recording and approving minutes, would that be a topic that could be discussed in executive session?
I think it really depends on the context in which the discussion would arise. If, for example, someone was threatening some type of express or implied legal action against the city because of an alleged failure to keep, maintain, and produce the minutes, I believe that would be an appropriate basis for an executive session to the extent that there would be a potential negative legal or financial consequence that would arise out of that alleged violation. I mean, that's ultimately a risk and legal discussion that the city council could permissibly have with its city attorney to talk about what steps need to be taken to bring the city into compliance, whether or not there is a definite or potential claim that could be filed, and what legal strategy might be pursued. Those are the type of things that could be discussed permissibly in that context. But the general policy of whether the city keeps minutes, that sort of a general broad policy question, typically that is an open session topic.
So means the legal threat, what constitutes a legal threat?
There's a specific definition for that under the Open Public Meeting Act, and I refer you to RCW 4230.110.1i. It talks about the permissible basis for an executive session under the heading of discussion legal counsel to discuss pending litigation. And there's a statutory analysis that occurs on that basis.
All right, thanks.
Should we, I guess the request at this point then would be to suspend further discussion until next week, at which time you return to have further comments.
Yes, yeah, an opportunity to respond to this specific
comment. Okay.
Thank you.
We'll do that. Thank you. Okay. Moving on in the agenda at this time, Councilmember reports, Councilmember Gary, anything to report?
I'm not tonight, thank you.
Councilmember Petta?
No, thank you.
Councilmember Kane?
No.
Councilmember Davis? Councilmember Gamble?
I'm good.
Councilmember Andrews?
Good.
All right. Administrative staff reports, there's a couple documents in online this evening. Staff, anything? Jeff, anything? Denise, good to see you again. Chief?
One quick thing. Most of you have read the paper, but we apprehended the robber that took a significant amount of cash out of the deposit that slipped up from Washington Neutral. And I would like to add this, that if it were not for the cameras on some of the local businesses that we utilize in identifying the vehicle, he would probably still not be caught, because that's how we had closed in on and I believe committed nine, or alleged to have committed nine bank robberies.
Mike?
Actually, I do have one thing. Saturday, October 27th, from 9:30 a.m. to 12 noon, there's going to be a cleanup downtown, the downtown corridor there. Volunteers from city staff, individuals in the community, Dream, members of Dream, and members of the Monroe Chamber of Commerce. We're going to meet on the northeast corner of Main and Lewis, right where that Monroe Directory sign is. There'll be a flyer that's being drafted now, so I'll post it on the website. And if anyone has any questions, they can get a hold of me.
Brad, any further?
Nothing.
Diane?
Nothing.
City Administrator Brother?
Thank you, Mayor. Draft agenda for October 23rd, 2012. Under new business, we have ordinance amending NMC Chapter 18.10, North Kelsey Design Guidelines, first reading. Number two, introduction, policy regarding removal of personal property from city right-of-way. Number three, ordinance amending Roosevelt Road rezoning classification. Number four, ordinance slash short plat extension. And number five, we just moved, which is to receive and evaluate complaints or charges brought against a public officer or employee.
If I may interrupt at that point, it just dawned on me that our city attorney will not be here next week. And we don't have we have a fifth Tuesday this month. I was just looking at my calendar as well. I'll be quite frank, I think that it would not be appropriate, or it would be appropriate to have our city attorney present during any discussion such as this in order to ensure that we don't cross the line and talk about subject matter that should not be discussed. I certainly don't want to be the judge of that. He's the city attorney for a reason. He knows the law much better. So, city attorney, well.
Council, I'm happy to come back on the fifth Tuesday if that's your preference, but I want to make it clear you're not required to have the city attorney present for that purpose. If the council wants to convene an executive session like that or some other evening, but I'm not here, this is not one of the types of executive sessions that you need under the state law to have an attorney present for, just to clarify that point.
Councilmember Gary.
Thanks. Would there be any reason not to just wait until November 6th? Other than
getting it over. It's sitting out there and right in, you know.
Okay, so that's fine. It doesn't matter. Good point. Never mind.
I know that you mentioned it's been going on for 2 weeks. I feel your pain. But I do have to agree with the mayor that I do think it's wise to have the city attorney here just in case.
So November 6th is our next regular, we do not have a scheduled meeting for 30. So November 6th would be the next opportunity to have the attorney here. So we'll move, if that's okay, move that to November 6th. Sorry about that.
No, that's just fine. Thank you for bringing that point up. It's appreciated. And then, of course, we have a draft agenda for November 6th, which we just added that topic. So any additions or deletions?
Question.
There's no, there's
information.
We can get
one. We can, what's that?
You want me to get one?
Oh, an update? Okay. Absolutely, yeah. She takes the rest.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it.
Okay, so what our code provides for is the mayor has the ability to appoint the hearing examiner. It doesn't have to come through council action, so that's how our rules are set up. So what we've done is we've published it several times for hearing examiner, advertised, if you will, and we at first didn't really receive any responses. We then posted it again in, I believe, the Seattle Times and the Ever Herald, and then we made a bunch of phone calls and tried to solicit people. And at this point in time, the only person that's been appointed is Mr. Phil Ulbricht. did put in an application. We had another hearing examiner that showed interest. We put the contract before them, and they chose not to sign the contract. They had concerns over it in regards to insurances that they had to acquire and that type of thing. And so that person opted out. Just today, we sent out another application, or not an application, but a contract to a potential hearing examiner. And then I talked to one other applicant today, and we sent out a packet to her as well. So currently on the books, we have Mr. Phil Olbrecht, and that is it. He does have an assistant if there's if the applicants are concerned with Phil holding the hearing, if there's a conflict of interest, that type of thing. He can opt out of that, and he does have an assistant that could step forward and hear the case for us. So at any rate, right now, that's all we have on the books.
The long and short is we've had four people that have expressed interest, or five.
Four.
We've sent out the contract, and we've only received one signed contract back, and that is by Attorney Olbrecht. We do have a hearing coming up. We've scheduled that for
this Friday.
What's that?
For a subdivision.
The anticipation is that we will have a roster, and we have not discussed how the council has anything to say. Please feel free. But we were intending to just make that a rotating roster. So as one comes up, we call. If they are available, they can hear. If not, they go. We go to the next person on the list, and then we go through that list process. So our intention is to have a roster of hearing examiners, as opposed to having the single examiner that we had for the last.
All under the same compensation.
All under the same compensation.
No.
That's right. No. So yeah. Some are different.
Say aye.
Aye.